Thank you, Brother Don,
for your prayer and everybody for participating in worship today.
We are really happy to have you here at the Aiken SCA Church. Some of you don't know, but this is our third Sabbath in this new location. We used to have a church in 217 Gregg Avenue, some of you visiting there, and that was a beautiful experience. For almost 60 years, the church was located in there, so now we are relocating in here. You notice we have a lot of space. In old churches, people prefer to sit in the back, so that's fine. Whatever you feel comfortable and you enjoy, feel there as long as you are at church, right? But we have more space, so we can invite friends and family members and whoever God placed in our path for bringing to church. So how are you doing today? I have a question for you. In our sermon today, in our talk, I want to ask you, how many friends do you have in your life? As an adult, we don't think about friends, right? But do you mind if I ask you, someone here? Don, how many friends do you have? Close friends? Three people? All right. What about you, Jimmy? How many friends do you have? Three or four people that close? All right. Sister Mina, how are you doing today? How many friends do you have? Close friends? Four friends, okay. You see, when you are growing up as a teenager, you tend to be more social, and we have a lot of friends or people that we call friends. But the older you get, you notice that the lonely we are, right? And the people that we used to call friends, we get disconnected, we get separated, and we don't get in contact for a long time. So the older you get, the less friends you have, right? And nothing wrong with that. What I'm trying to point to you, it is important to have good friends. Right? What benefits bring to your life having a good friend? Somebody that you can be open and honest and talk to them, and you know that they will listen to you and they won't criticize you, right? What other benefits do you have when having a good friend? It's somebody that is probably closer than even family, right? In occasions, you had good friends that they are closer to you than even family members, and you know that these friends will help you in times of need. Right? What other benefits you can get through having good friends? How about in spiritual matters? Do you think it will be good for you to have a good spiritual friend? Yes, right? This is the people that will talk to you things that nobody will talk to you, right? And we have the tendency to see ourselves as such a good people that we don't do anything wrong. But once in a while, we need somebody who help us to point out little things that we need to continue growing and improving, right? What other benefit can bring friendship? How about inspiration in difficult times, right? You are ready to quit or you are ready to give up, maybe in a job or maybe in a circumstance in your family, and a good friend can give you encouragement, right? Give you like a different perspective. So it's important for you to have friends. In fact, people who had friends had longer life. Right, so you want to live longer, you need to have good friends, right? People who come to church, most of the time, they come to the same church because they have friends at church, right? If you don't have friends, well, you don't feel like you are too attached to that particular congregation. You can move on to whatever you want to. I have a story in the Bible that I want to share with you. It's found in the book of Acts. Please open your Bibles in Acts. It's in chapter 18. It's a simple story, but I think it's a beautiful story, and it has some lessons for us today. So open the Bible in chapter 18, and our story begins in verse 24. You know that the book of Acts in the New Testament is telling the story about the church, right? How the church begins and how everything was done 2,000 years ago. So in this portion of the book, and by the way, what is the reason for the book of Acts? What was the reason that somebody wrote this book? You remember? Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 1. And the book begins in something like this. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, and he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commands to the apostles from whom he had chosen, and to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many, infallible proof has been seen by during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So the main reason for the book of Acts is to help a friend to understand more about Jesus. And this friend's name was Theophilus, right? Theos means God and Philos means love. The one who is loved by God, the one who loves God. Now here in chapter 18, I want you to pay attention to the following story. It's found in four verses. It's just a short story. Now, a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptisms of John. So he began to speak boldly at the synagogue when Aquila and Priscilla hear him, and they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, and when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through the grace. For he vigorously refute the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is Christ. So a few verses in there. And I want you to pay attention in some details that the story is mentioned and that you probably also read a few minutes ago. Where he was born? Alexandria. What do you remember about that city? Where it was located? Alexandria, Virginia, right? Egypt, right? The second biggest city of the whole Roman Empire. Go ahead. It's Acts chapter 18, verse 18, I'm sorry, 24 on. Acts 18, 24 on. So Alexandria was the second biggest city of the empire, and they were known for one important thing. In that city, they have one of the biggest libraries of the all times. The library was destroyed, sadly, by a fire. But it was considered at the time one of the seven wonders. That was an amazing collection of books and information that they had from centuries. Something happened. So that was a city where education and teaching and knowledge was presented to his citizens. People want to acquire this knowledge. What was the name of the character that we were talking today? What is his name? Apollos. And he was what? From what religion? He was a Jew. So you have a strange combination here, right? Somebody who believed to the Jewish faith who have a Greek name and not a common Greek name. This is the name of a god, right? A pagan god. So it's possible that somebody in the family of Apollos, maybe dad, we don't know, maybe mom, maybe an uncle, suggested the name because they have pagan beliefs. Maybe they thought instead of being called, you know, Judas or Jesus, we will call you Apollos because we live in this city and the language that people speak here is Greek, and that's an easy name that people can pronounce, maybe. I don't know. It's interesting when you are presenting yourself to other people. I explained to you before, my name is Benjamin Rueda. That's how you pronounce my last name. But every single time that I get to a district, and that happened to me here in Aiken, what is your name? Oh, you can call me Pastor Ben. Yeah, just, I've been through this rodeo many, many, many times. What is your last name? So you say, Rueda. And then you see the faces of the people, right? What? What's that? How do you pronounce that? Rueda. You know, like, the R in Spanish is so complicated. The brrr, little twist in there, like, it's like some letters in English I can get, right? So since I've been through these many, many, many years, I finally reached the conclusion, there's no way that I will ever teach them to how to pronounce my name properly. So how we do, so I'm just trying to make it as easy as possible. You can say Ruda, right? That's the closest that you can get, and I'm happy with that. You don't offend me, right? But even if that's too difficult for you to remember Pastor Ruda, but you can remember Pastor Ben, right? Ben is a very common name here in the U.S., so let's go with Pastor Ben. So that's the story behind Pastor Ben. My last name is a Spanish last name, 14th century, middle Spain. It's a small village in Spain with our family name. And it means wheel in Spanish. That's what it means, wheels, round. So, yes, like the wheels that you have in a car, wheel. But so I told you this before, and it's true, I was bullied in school because I was a chubby kid, and my last name was Round. And so kids made fun of me. And so we had some issues about that. I'm like, never liked my last name, and I never liked my first name, but then you get older and you settle, right? Ah, what I will do. It is what it is. And that's what I have. And so growing up, I remember having a good friend. His name was Ricardo. And Ricardo was a smart kid. We live in a very poor neighborhood and go to public school together and grew up together and had many, many experiences together, right? The school that we got together, you had to apply in order to be accepted because they had so many kids from the city trying to enter to that. And only the highest scores were allowed to enter. And we grew up together as a teenagers, trying to fit in a society, right? You know how difficult it is to be a teenager. And we didn't have a lot of friends, a little nerdy, you know, like reading comic books and doing things that other kids didn't do, right? In my country, one of the most common things for kids to do is playing soccer, right? That's what kids, cool kids do. But I'm terrible at soccer, so I didn't play soccer too much. That means less friends. And so I feel isolated growing up, and it was good to have that friend there. My friend support me in difficult times, and he teach me. And he lived in Colombia, South America right now, divorced guy, have a young son that he's raising by himself. And we are still in contact. We have different faiths because I believe in God, the Creator, and the Seventh-day Adventist. And he's more like a spiritual person. He's like a seeker. But still, we had conversations about God. He believed in God, and he believed in the Bible and other things. So we had some points in common. But when we talk, I don't argue with my friend about religion. We talk about things that we have in common, faith and trust in God and other things like that. So I discovered that the older you get, the less friends you have, and in part because we are changing. We are different. The things I used to like as a teenager, I don't like anymore, right? And I'm becoming like an adult right now. So the Bible is telling us here that this young man named Apollos go to that city far away from home, Ephesus, a Greek city, and he was on fire for God. He was preaching about God, right? And he was trying to tell people that God sent John the Baptist, and we are not clear enough in how much information he knew about Jesus Christ. It seemed that he knew something about Jesus Christ, but it wasn't the complete story. Maybe he didn't know about Jesus Christ there at the cross and resurrection. Maybe he didn't know about the salvation. We don't know exactly what was his limitation. But a couple who was sitting at the congregation there, they were listening to him, and they noticed that he was in fire and that he was excited about God, that he was preaching to the people, and they liked him. And they saw in that young man potential. And they saw in this person a good opportunity to continue preaching the gospel. But they noticed also that he was lacking in knowledge, right? So is knowledge important for a believer? What do you think? It is essential, right? If you don't know what you are supposed to do, how you will please God? So it's essential for a believer that you know the basis, the foundation of salvation. What do you mean to be saved by grace? What is what Jesus did at the cross? What is the point of salvation by faith, right? All these details get together. So he was a Jewish man, probably well known in the Old Testament and known with the traditions of the church, the Jewish faith, but he was lacking in knowledge about Jesus Christ. So I want to think about these two couple approaching him and maybe inviting him home, right? Inviting him to a place where they can talk in a more comfortable way. So lesson number one, being friend with somebody doesn't mean that you will accept everything that the other person is doing, right? It means that you will be honest, but also kind when you are talking to your friends, right? And when you are talking to your friends, when kindness and love and honesty, they maybe will listen to you. Doesn't mean that they always listen to you, but it's a chance that they will listen to you. Somehow in the story, this young man go with this couple, and they explain him about Jesus Christ. They explain him about the gospel, the full details of the gospel. And without much detail, the story tells us that he believed in that he accepted. I'm pretty sure Apollos go to the Old Testament when they were talking about Jesus as the Messiah, and start reviewing the prophecies, and start reviewing the text and Isaiah and the Psalms and all the prophets in the Old Testament to see if the story made sense. And when he discovered that the story made sense, then he embraced it. Yes, Jesus, Lord, is my Savior and Lord, my God. That was a big jump for a Jewish person. A huge jump of faith. For you and for me, maybe it's not such a great thing, but for them, it was a big, big deal. So he's accepting now Jesus Christ, and now he's coming back to the same synagogue and start preaching more boldly and trying to present people closer and closer to the cross. Now, the other lesson that I get from here, and I think we need to be careful in this, is that we need to make friends, right? But we need to use a strategy in how we talk to our friends. You don't think? Some people here will say, well, I prefer a straight shooter. What do you think? Somebody who will tell you what it is. How do you feel when somebody talks to you like that? How that made you feel?
They can only do that after they become
that friend. But that's true. But even if they are close friends of you, instead of giving you a rose, they throw you a brick of knowledge in your face, eventually they will hurt your feelings. So you need some strategy here, right? When you are talking to friends, you need to pray about it, ask God for wisdom, and then do it in a personal level. Don't do it publicly, right? The Bible is not mentioning that he go and call them in front of everybody and start rebuking this young man. No, they use this approach that was very tender and very gentle, and they were presenting to him evidence that the scripture was presenting. So this is more than something that it was a choice. This is something that was essential in the salvation plan for this young man. And they thought, well, it's important that you know these things, and then you can make a decision if you want to follow or not these instructions. So in the story, you continue reading that he continued preaching, and he desired later to move to another city, right? He wanted to visit another church. So what was the advice that the members of the church give Apollos before he go to the other church? Before you go there, what you need to do? Let's go and read it again to remember. All right, here in verse number 27 say, and when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, and when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. So I don't know if you notice the process here, right? It's not like he decided, I'm going to the new city and show up in there. No, something happened previous to that. They sure sent a letter, right? How long do you think it will take a letter from Rich to Ephesus to the other city? A few weeks, probably, right? It's not something that happened because maybe these letters were delivered by foot. Somebody walking faster, you know, hundreds of miles from one city to the other. Here is the letter. It's 350, you know, express delivery for you. Whatever the amount, the charge at the time, I don't know. And once the believers get the letter, they start reading the letter, and they discover, oh, somebody's coming to our church. We will prepare for this young man so he can preach here too. So you notice it's some signs of organization, right? And that makes sense. Do we apply the same principles today? What do you think? If we have a speaker here at church, do you think that at least we will do a basic inquiry about this person? Yes, we do. You know, I love you all, and you can tell me I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, and I believe you, you know. But for the majority of the people who speak here at front, I will need some reference. Why? Because it happens that in occasions you let someone speak at church, and these persons maybe present a message that is incoherent with the gospel, right? So you get concerned. So in order to be just to everybody, yes, we ask for verification. When you are here in the U.S. and you move to another country, the church advises you what you need to do. You are Seventh-day Adventist for many years. What do you do if you move from one city to another, or from one country to another? What is the advice that they give you? Transfer your membership. So the new people, where you're going, they will know, oh, here is Gabriela. She used to be a member in Romania, and now she's back here with us, and she's joining our worship. Great, welcome, right? That's how we check and do balance today in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's still happening, right? Well, it's more easy right now. You make a phone call or you send an email. Things move quickly right now. If I get an invitation from somebody, I will ask where I'm going, and they will ask who you are and why are you coming here, right? It's just basic knowledge. What I'm speaking to you about today about friendship is because I feel that friends are more prone to listen to other friends. In fact, I want to share with you two tests that they are in the book of John, among my favorite Bible tests. If you are kind enough, open your Bibles in the book of John, chapter 15. Chapter 15 in the book of John is an amazing chapter. I encourage you to read it all at home. It's called the gardener, right? The Father is the gardener, and you and I, we are the branches connected to Jesus Christ. It's an illustration in how to live a good life connected to Christ. But somewhere here in the middle of the chapter is two small verses that I want to share with you. Number one, it's verse 14. This is how Jesus is referring to you and to me, right? You are my friends. What do you think about that? Do you like that title? Yeah, it's good to have Jesus as your friend, right? From all my friends in the whole world, that's one friend that I want to have close, Jesus, right? So you are my friend. Now Jesus continues saying, if you do what? Whatever what? I tell you, or I command you, or I instruct you, right? So if you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to obey whom? Jesus, right? It's interesting, but I don't know if you noticed that we have a symbol here at the entrance of the church today. What we have at the front is a small wooden cross. Do you notice that one? And a lot of people, I remember growing up, it was cool to have a nice decent cross in your chest. Have you noticed people that carry crosses? If you see somebody carrying a cross in their neck, what do you think? This person is a Christian. And they are not afraid of telling everybody they are Christians. So yeah, I remember growing up, the kids have crosses. They don't have to be made from expensive metals or anything. It was just a symbol, right? And I've been in churches where people will have controversies about a cross. Can you believe that? Christians fighting about a cross. The most well-known symbol of Christianity. Some people will say, well, we don't worship idols. The last time I checked, I didn't see anyone bowing and kissing that cross in there at the front, right? So don't do that. This is a symbol. We don't worship idols here. But I'm being in churches that seriously, they get divided by a pain, divided by a little article, a symbol like that. They start fighting. And then they create like a big, big split. So I was mentioning to you that growing up, having a cross was an important symbol. And today, a lot of people like to proclaim that they are Christians, right? But I want to challenge you to think about this for a moment. I feel it's very risky that you start proclaiming that you are a Christian and you don't behave like one. What did I say? That is very risky and it's very detrimental to the faith that you claim to be a follower of Christ, but you don't behave like one. It's like when you are driving and you see people who have this bumper sticker, you know, Jesus is my copilot. Okay, so you're assuming this person in front of you is a nice Christian, right? Until you saw them drive, how they get in front of you and how they behave, like, ah. So be very careful in the things that you are proclaiming because people are paying attention to what you say, right? And how you behave and the things that you do. So it's more than that. It's more than a symbol. It carries a lot of weight because now you and I become the representatives of the whole faith, right? And people start criticizing our church based on the behavior of some members. So Jesus is telling us today here in verse 14 here, I'm sorry, 15 and verse 14, you are my friends, you do whatever I command you. No longer I do call you servants, for a servant doesn't know what the master is doing, but I will call you my friends. For all the things that I hear from my Father, I had made known to you. So why he called us friends? Because he don't have secrets for us. The things that the Father teach him, he teach you and me. And that's an amazing thing. You see, when you have a friend, you have the ability to talk to your friend at ease. You don't feel like you need to walk in eggshells because your friend will get offended with you. Right? You can talk to your friend and plainly say things that you won't say to anyone else. But it's a friendship underlying there, right? It's this broad code of love that allows you to do that. And I want to challenge you today to think about this other fact, that the majority of us, we were trying to get friends at church today, right? The majority of us, we don't have friends outside the church. Have you noticed that? We have friends from people from church or maybe from our community, but we tend to get friends who act and behave like us. So how do you feel trying to get new friends? How easy is it for you? It's not easy for me either. Honestly, it's challenging. But if you are making new friends, I commend you and applaud you. You know, great. God continue blessing you. Maybe that's your talent. Some of you have this nice ability that you can talk to anyone, right? And make friends so easily. And that's a great thing to do, right? But the majority of us, we are not like that. Like, if you see somebody that you don't know, what you do? Like, oh, stay quiet. Don't talk to this person. That's what we normally do, right? Think about the last time that when you go to a doctor appointment, right? You get there to the office, you sit in there, and do you talk to the other people in there? No, you don't talk. You don't know them, right? And if you start talking to them, what they will think about you? That's interesting. What a nice, pleasant person, right? Probably, I don't know. So it requires a strategy. It requires wisdom from the Lord. So that's my challenge for you, asking God to help us to make new friends. How about that? A new friend for this new month. That the Lord give me an opportunity. I'm telling you something that is challenging for me to do. I'm not telling you something that is easy for me to do. But maybe it's more easy for you to do. That the Lord can open an opportunity and place someone in your path, somebody in your way that you can talk and become a friend, right? That maybe God will open the door that we can share the gospel with someone else. Because this beautiful truth, it is important, and other people need to hear this message. But we need to do our part. Amen? Amen. So thank you for being here. We have a small gift for all of you and visitors, and I hope it's enough for some members. But we have two magazines, and Robert will help me with that at the end. Talk to Robert. And he will help you with that magazine so you can take home. And if you can read it or give it to somebody, whatever you think is the best for you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are asking you for a special blessing today. Lord, help us to be loving and friendly Christians that we can represent you well wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.